Good evening.
Good evening.
Welcome to worship on this eve of Advent 3. A special welcome to guests and visitors as well, and those who are joining us online virtually. A few announcements that I want to highlight for you. First of all, end of the year is coming in terms of January 31st, and if anyone is interested in making an end of the year offering gift, Judy Connell wanted me to remind you that that needs to be turned in and received by the 28th of December so that all of that money can be deposited and then the accounts can be adjusted accordingly so that we can kind of close the accounts, etc. So please keep that in mind. Also, the virtual nativity for the children's nativity, that's coming along pretty well. I'm receiving pictures, so if you've got kids or grandkids that you know about that you would like to have them dress up like one of the nativity characters, please have them do that and send me an email. I think it's going to be a wonderful offering that we'll have this year, even though we have to do it as a virtual offering. Discipleship covenants, we've received over 25 already. Please keep that in mind, that membership at Emmanuel is an annual renewal, and so please turn those in as soon as possible as well. And then also in your bulletin, you'll notice that there is an announcement about the implementation team. They'll be meeting tomorrow evening at 5 p.m., so you can talk to Judy or you can send an email to any of the members if you have any questions or comments before they meet. Remember that we'll be having the Lord's Supper tonight distributed very carefully. Rich Sunday is going to be ushering people out, so please follow his directions. He'll do it one person or one family at a time so that everyone can be safe as they receive the Lord's Supper. And then also, if you haven't noticed on the prayer calendar, today is Rowan Edwards' birthday, one of the little guys in our congregation. And so we're keeping Rowan in our prayers, praying that he's having a good birthday celebration as well. I believe those are the announcements that need to be highlighted, and so I would invite you to join me in our opening prayer. Blessed are you, God of our salvation. You promised to take away judgment, to cast out fear, and to turn the shame of the outcast into praise. As we light these candles, kindle in us the fire of your Holy Spirit to make known your deeds among the nations and to sing for joy when you are in our midst. Let your face shine on us and bless us that we may be saved. Amen. Please join with me in singing verse 1 of Son of God, Eternal Savior, while the Advent candles are lit. As we are able for our brief order for confession and forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In silence, let us confess our sins to our merciful Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name.
Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Our gathering hymn, Prepare the Royal Highway.
Prepare the royal highway, the King of Kings is near. Let every hill and valley a level road appear. Then greet the King of Glory, foretold in sacred story. People see him calling, your own eternal King. All branches strew before him, spread garments, shout and sing. God's promise will not fail you, no more shall doubt assail you.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, give ear to our prayers and lighten the darkness of our hearts by your gracious visitation. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the hearing of God's word.
The first lesson is from Isaiah chapter 61, beginning with verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrong. I will faithfully give them their recompense, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Their offspring shall be known among the nations, and their descendants in the midst of the peoples. All who see them shall acknowledge them, that they are an offspring the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels. For as the earth brings forth its sprouts, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to sprout up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to sprout up before all the nations, the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm is Psalm 126, and we will read it responsively. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion,
we were like those who dream.
Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy.
Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them.
The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad.
Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams in the Negev.
Those who sow in tears
shall reap with shouts of joy.
He who goes out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing,
shall come home with shouts of joy, bringing his sheaves with him.
The second lesson is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning with verse 16. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit, do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our gospel acclamation is verse 2 of What Child Is This?
My life's in such mean estate, where ox and ass are feeding. Good Christian, fearful sinners, hear the silent word is pleading. They'll spare, shall pierce him through the cross be borne for me, for you. Hail, hail the word made flesh, the babe, the Son of Mary.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. And this is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." And they said to him, "Who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Then why are you baptizing if you're neither the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know, even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I'm not worthy to untie." These things took place in Bethany, across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Congregation may be seated. I posted earlier today a children's message based upon our epistle lesson, St. Paul's writing to the church in Thessalonica, and you can watch that with kids or grandkids. And right now, I invite you to join with me in singing verses 1 and 2 of Joy to the World.
Joy.
to the world, the Lord is come. The great I am, the ego and me in the Gospel of John, the burning bush God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the one that was promised by the one who was sent, the prophet Isaiah, who said that Messiah will come, the servant of Almighty God, and he will be sent to proclaim good news to the poor, release to those who are held captive, and the favorable day of the Lord. Jubilee, joy to the world. The Lord is come. It's the season of Advent. And when John shows up, John the Baptist, John the baptizer, we know that we are in fact getting close to something important, essential, necessary. Indeed, the salvation of God's people. There was a man sent by God whose name was John. The name John means God is gracious. Indeed, God is gracious to Zechariah and Elizabeth, who have this baby in their very old age. God is gracious, full of grace and truth for you and for me, in the sending of his son Jesus to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came to bear witness to the light. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness to the light so that all might come to saving faith, all might believe in Jesus through the testimony, the witness of the one who is sent. The one who is sent continues to send. There was a man whose name was John. He came to bear witness, and this is his testimony. He testifies to the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help him God. And so we, looking at our gospel reading for tonight, immediately have pictures in our head and our hearts of a courthouse, of a courtroom, as though someone were on trial. And where do you picture yourself as you look at our gospel for tonight, as you hear the gospel for tonight in the courtroom? Are you the ones who have been sent by the Pharisees? The good religious folks who simply want an answer, not the answer, an answer for those who sent you? Interrogation? Sounds like someone sitting at the prosecutor's table. Or maybe you see yourself behind the bench as judge, or seated among your peers as a member of the jury, or maybe we see ourselves at the defendant's table. I mean, let's face it, if you and I were on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict us? Everyone is sent, and everyone is on a mission. The question is, who are you? Why did God send you? Your birth isn't an accident to God. And so, why are you here? Why did God send you, call you, sanctify you, save you? What's the purpose? Interrogation? Or to bear witness to the truth? The whole truth. Nothing but the truth. So help you God. John the Baptizer, he knows his role. He knows the part that God has sent him to play. Reminds me of a story that a number of years ago, Leonard Sweet, he was leading a future workshop, and I had a chance to hear him speak, and he shared this story. There was a wedding, and you know when there's a wedding, you get a wedding party together, And usually there's the night before the wedding, which is called the rehearsal. And so all the wedding party was there in the church, and the preparations had been made. The people had been selected to do their part, to play their role for the rehearsal night. And so the bride, she had picked her little 5-year-old nephew to be the ring bearer. Now that's quite an honor, you know, carrying that pillow with the rings and stuff. But he became belligerent. Now I know that might surprise you for a 5-year-old. Belligerent, acting up, chasing around and pushing and picking on the two girls that were acting as flower girls. I mean, he was just acting like a little brat. And finally his mother grabbed him, took him aside and said, "This is enough of this stuff. You need to behave yourself. Don't you understand what an honor it is to be the, well, part of the wedding party? That your aunt chose you and wanted you to be here for this? Stop acting up and behave yourself." And the little 5-year-old looked at his mother and he said, "But Mom, I have to do this. I am the ring bearer." Oh, you see what had happened? He was confused. And that can happen with little kids, seriously. Quite frankly, it often happens with adults as well. You see, he thought he was the star attraction. He thought he was the main show. He thought he was the ring bearer. And he felt it was necessary to behave so. He was confused with the role that he was called to play. Because you see, when it comes to a wedding or a funeral, when it comes to a service of worship, when it comes to waking up in the morning and then being wrapped in the love of Jesus at night as we fall asleep, it's not about you and me. It's never about you and me. It's about Jesus. And so he makes it about you and me when he comes into the world being sent to save us from our sins. Yeah, the little boy just got his role confused, that it was not about him. But we don't see that problem in our gospel, do we? At least not on the part of John, whose name means God is gracious. There was a man who was sent from God. His name was John. And you remember how he's dressed, you know, in this camel's hair. And he's down there by the Jordan River, on the other side of the Jordan River, Bethany, which means house of witness or testimony. And he's eating locusts, grasshoppers, honey. I mean, you can probably picture this guy, right? He's got this big leather belt. He's got this camel's hair coat. And he's probably got a great big beard that's got kind of crusties in it. You know, from those grasshoppers and that flowing stuff that he's eating. And so the Pharisees, they want to know. They send some scribes, they send some Levites, and they've got some questions, and right away they look at John and they say, I mean, you could almost picture this, can't you? You could almost see this, where they're looking at John and maybe somebody kind of spits on the ground and says, "Who in the world do you think you are, John?" Huh? And John says, "Well, you know, try not to laugh too hard. I don't want you to confuse me with the light. I'm not the light. I don't want you to confuse me with Messiah. I'm not the Messiah." "Well then, who do you think you are? Huh? Are you Elijah?" "Oh, no way. Are you the prophet?" "Uh-uh. Well, we need an answer for the ones who sent us. We need an answer." That's the problem, isn't it? Because there's not just an answer, there is the answer. And they're going to miss it because all they're interested in is peripheral stuff, the supporting cast and not the main star. They're going to miss it. John says, "Well, I suppose you could tell them in the words of Isaiah, I've been sent to prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Well, if you're not Messiah or the Christ, you know, if you're not the prophet, if you're not Elijah, then why are you baptizing? And John says, well, because that's what I was sent to do. There was a man sent by God whose name was John. He's doing what he was sent to do so that Messiah might be revealed, so that he might bear witness, and that through his witness, his testimony, all people might come to believe and have life, abundant life, in the name of Jesus. There was a man sent from God. God sent John on a mission. God continues to send you and me. It was Martin Luther, in his commentary and words and preaching on the Gospel of John, who pointed out something of profoundness, that the Gospel of John begins and ends with a trial scene. Who's on trial? Well, at the beginning, they're trying to put John the Baptist on trial, and he's willing to get on the stand, and he's willing under oath to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And we know that Jesus, John chapter 14, is the way, the truth, the life. Not one of many options or alternatives. No one, Jesus says, come to the Father except by me. He's the good shepherd. He lays down his life for the sheep. He is the door, the only door that fallen sheep, sinners that we are, redeemed by God's grace, are able to enter the eternal sheepfold of Almighty God. Jesus, the way, the truth, the life. There was a man sent by God. His name was John. And he came to bear witness. Witness, testimony, important words. I'll give you an example. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they're known as the three synoptic gospels. Witness, testimony, 6 times in the synoptic gospels. But in the Gospel of John, witness, testimony, 45 times or more. Now, maybe it's just me, but I think John is trying to tell us something. That the Father sent his Son, and that the Son is going to send his disciples, his church, his redeemed people, so that we too can bear witness. And you know what the word witness means. I mean, it comes from the word for martyr. Do you remember what happened to John the Baptist? John the Baptizer, because he wouldn't pull any punches, because he wouldn't beat around the bush, because he knew that God had sent him, and he wanted to be faithful to the one who sent him and to the sending mission. Well, he got locked up. And as soon as he got locked up, Jesus began his public ministry. And then you may recall that Herod, that pretend puppet king, it was his birthday, and he ended up offering the head of John the Baptist on a silver platter. Silver plate or platter. John was martyred. He lost his head because he refused to compromise the gospel. And there's only one gospel, that there is salvation in the name of Jesus. Oh, God is gracious, full of grace and truth for you and for me. This is our God, the one who keeps sending. At the end of the Gospel of John, you may recall what happens. Jesus is on trial before Pilate, and Pilate is kind of befuddled. He's confused, just like that little 5-year-old, regarding who we are and who we are not. You see, John the Baptist is never confused about that, He says, I am not. He has the disclaimers first. In other words, it's kind of like a reversed portfolio, where John the Baptist says, it's not about me, and if you're going to keep asking me about me, then I'm going to walk away because I've got better things to do. If you don't want to know about Jesus, then you're wasting your time, you're wasting my time. That's why I was sent. You see, and Pilate, he thinks he's in control. He says, don't you know, Jesus, that I've got the power, and I can put you on a cross, or I can set you free? You would have no power unless my Father had given it to you. Jesus looks at Pilate and he says, you know, those who know the truth, they listen to my voice. John 10, the sheep hear the voice of the shepherd. They know him, they follow him. Pilate's word to Jesus at the end of that trial, if you will, is simply, what is truth? I mean, you can't help but laugh, right? They didn't get it in chapter 1 when they interrogated John the Baptist. Pilate doesn't get it as the governor of Rome in Palestine. What is truth? And so even today, my friends, it can be family, it can be friends, it can be neighbors, it can be co-workers. You know who they are. You pray for them every day. The truth is right in front of their faces, and they can't see it, and they won't know it. And so what does God do? He keeps sending. He keeps sending. He doesn't give up. The resurrected one. He comes to his, well, you might call them misfit disciples, and what does he say? He breathes on them and says, receive the Holy Spirit. Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so, I am sending you. If you forgive the sins of any, they're forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they're retained. We are the sent ones to proclaim release to the captives, the day of Jubilee, recovery of sight to the blind, good news to the poor, the raising up of those who are dead, dead to sin, and can see no hope in today, let alone tomorrow. There was a man sent by God to bear witness to the truth. And you are that man, you are that woman, you are that child that God has sent and is sending. It was about 2 years ago. There was a woman by the name of Amber Geiger, a police officer with a Dallas law enforcement, Dallas, Texas, and she had worked 13 hours on a particular day, September 6, 2018, I believe, about 10 p.m., and after a 13-hour shift, she was texting her boyfriend, who was also a cop. She was distracted, she was tired probably. She ended up driving to her apartment complex, and she parked on the wrong floor. And she went in and proceeded to enter her apartment, or at least what she thought was her apartment. And it wasn't completely shut tight, so when she put the key card in, it opened up, and so she assumed that she was in the right place. But she was actually one floor away. And inside it was dark, and there was a 26-year-old, a young man of deep faith in Jesus, Botham Jean, watching TV, in the dark, eating ice cream. She thought he was an intruder. She pulled her gun. She shot him. And he was killed. And then she was put on trial. She was eventually sentenced to 10 years in prison. Others were recommending that that was too little, that they didn't get enough pounds of flesh, that it should have been at least 20 years or more. What was interesting is what happened on the day of the sentencing, when family members have an opportunity, if you will, to say their piece. So there was a young man named Brant. And Brant was Bolton's brother. And he came and he began to speak and he looked at Amber Geiger and he said, I want you to know that I love you as I love all of God's creation and God's people. And I don't want you to rot to death in a prison cell. In fact, I know that's not what my brother, Bolton Jean, would want. He would want for you what I want for you, what God wants for you to turn your life over to Jesus and to be saved by his grace and his mercy. That's what I want for you. That's what God wants for you. That's what my brother would want for you. And then he looked at the judge, an African-American, the judge, Tammy Kemp, and he said to her, can I give her a hug? Please? Please, can I give her a hug? And it was allowed. And for about a minute, there was transforming silence in the courtroom as Brant, who had lost his brother, was hugging this police officer who had killed Bolton. And then Brant left the courtroom, and the judge left the courtroom for just a minute, and then she came back, and Judge Tammy Kemp, she had in her hand her own personal Bible, and she handed it to Amber Geiger. And she looked at her and she said, John 3:16, God sent his son because he loves you and he wants the world to be saved through his son, Jesus. A little mustard seed faith, that's all it takes. And it's what God wants to give you in the name of his son. You see, it was a word of promise in the pardoning grace of God. And evidently, Amber Geiger, she whispered something to the judge. And the judge looked at her and said, you have not done anything so bad that you can't be forgiven. You made a bad choice on one day, and that can't be undone. But today matters, and what you do now with the rest of your life. It matters. And even though I wasn't there, I can picture this. In the midst of all of the things that people are so up in arms about in our culture and in our country and around the world, here you have a judge, a believer in Jesus, an African-American woman who gave a hug to this white police officer who had been sentenced to 10 years in prison. There was a man sent by God. His name was John. It means God is gracious. You've been sent by Jesus himself. He's sending you. He's dwelling within you. You're not the Word, but you are in fact like a pencil in the hands of Almighty God. And he's using you to write his story in the lives of others. You're not the light, but you're like maybe one of those Advent bulbs, you know, on the house or on the tree. that bears light? You're not the true vine, but you are a grafted on branch that's been called to bear fruit that abides. You're not the good shepherd, but you are one of his forever lambs. You're not Messiah. You're not Elijah. You're not the prophet. But you are the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord, because he's coming. He's coming to bring good news to the poor. And there will be recompense. Jesus, the way, the truth, the life, for you and for the world he came to save. Be a witness in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We sing together verses 3 and 4 of our hymn of the day, Joy to the World.
No more let sin and sorrow roll, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow.
I invite you to rise as you are able for our confession of faith, the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Let us pray to the Lord on behalf of the church, the world, and all people according to their need. O Lord, we long for your salvation. Make haste and help us. Come quickly with blessing and comfort for your people, O strong deliverer of Israel and the redeemer of the world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Clothe your church with the joy of your salvation. Cover it with the righteousness of Christ. Adorn it with the jewels of your word and sacraments. Through it, let the poor hear the good news, the sorrowful find comfort, and captives to sin and death experience your salvation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Restore the fortunes of Christians who are persecuted for confessing Jesus as Lord. Turn their weeping into rejoicing. Cause those who hate them to repent and believe in the good news. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bless and guide the people of this congregation. Give us faithful hearts, ears attentive to your word, eyes which see the needs of others, hands skilled in building up the body of Christ, and tongues swift to pray, forgive, and encourage. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Anoint the rulers of the world with your spirit, so that like you, they love justice and hate evil. Use them to repair lives and cities ruined by violence. Direct their words and their works in your truth. Establish your peace among the nations. Make each of us into trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, bearing much fruit to your glory and for the building up of your people. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Grant your healing to the brokenhearted and to all who suffer in body, mind, or spirit, especially those we name.
Gracious God, we pray your blessings upon Bertha Olson. We pray your blessings of healing upon Donna Tallison. We pray for comfort for the Burgaw family. We pray for Gloria Weebush, for the people at the Good Samaritan Center in St. Ansgar. We pray for Todd Robertson, Bishop John Bradowski, Pam Deacon Joyner, Barb Stephenson, Josephine Bangaro, McKenna Studer, Mark Haseth, Lynn Kelleher, Brian Belter, Karen Peterson, Becky Ottman, and all those, Lord, that we're naming before you now in the silence of our hearts. We give you thanks for the good news that Gail Trusinski has received. We thank you, O Lord, that her cancer remains in full remission.
Give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Strengthen all who care for them and give them, and all of us, your everlasting joy. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Graciously answer our prayers for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who with you and the Holy Spirit reigns one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Congregation may be seated. I invite you in the days ahead to share the peace of Christ with family and friends and neighbors. You can do it with emails. You can do it on the phone. You can do it as you pass by, perhaps on an outside walk. But make sure that you bear witness in word and deed to the way, the truth, and the life. I remind you also that no passing of the peace or the offering baskets. There is a basket in the back that you can place an offering in if you wish. And also there are other online options as well. Let us pray. Holy God, the beginning and the end, our salvation and our hope, we praise you for creating a world of order and beauty. When we brought on chaos, cruelty, and despair, you sent the prophets to proclaim your justice and mercy. And at this end of ages, your Son Jesus came to bring us your love and to heal all the suffering world. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering therefore his life, death, and resurrection, we await his coming again in righteousness and peace. Send your Spirit on us, and on this bread and wine we share. Strengthen our faith, increase our hope, and bring to birth the justice and joy of your Son. Through him, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, both now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive the benediction. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sending song, Rejoice, Rejoice, Believers.
Rejoice, rejoice, believers, and let your lights appear. The evening is advancing, and darker night is near. The bridegroom is arising, and soon he will draw nigh. Up watching expectation, at midnight comes the cry. The saints who hear in patience their cross and sufferings bore shall live and reign forever when sorrow is no more. Around the
peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.